Welcome to Fusion, a podcast for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I'm joined by the Dans. I'm in the middle of a Dan sandwich here in Zoom. We've got Dan Morin, Clockwise, Six Colors, The Rebound, your favorite local bookstore. Dan Morin's everywhere.
I am everywhere at all times.
The ever-present Dan.
It's exhausting.
And Dan Provost, which, of course, from Thoroughly Considered and Studio Neat. Hello, Dan Provost.
Hello.
Did you all have, maybe you were this kid growing up, but did you have a friend growing up that they just went by their first and last name together?
Oh, yeah. Yep. 100%. There was a guy we knew named John Brooks. He was always John Brooks.
John Brooks. But that could be like a double first name. Like in the South, Brooks could be like a name.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Brooks.
In elementary school, we had the thing where it was like first name, last initial.
Yes.
Because there were more than one. So, you know, you'd have Stephen H. And
my youngest son is one of several kids in his class with the same first name. Mm. And they call each other like first name, last initial. That's very strange. Dan P.
Yes.
Anyways, this month we were talking about what to talk about. Dan Provost, Dan P. said he could teach us about NFTs, which I'm just going to say, I have a tendency, I think a lot of people do, I just sort of like immediately reject things that are buzzwordy on Twitter. And so I don't know, like I know broad strokes, but we are here to learn at your feet. Tell us what these things are and why Dan, Morin, and I should mint our works and retire on a yacht.
Oh, man, that's a tall challenge.
You got 30 minutes. Go.
So what you just said about having kind of an initial negative reaction to something that seems fatty or trendy, I could totally relate to that. And you are literally describing what I thought about NFTs like 3 weeks ago. And then for whatever reason, well, actually I know the exact reason. It was Tom, my business partner and co-host on the podcast.
I was really wondering where that was going. It's like, yeah. Co-founder, snuggle partner,
crime fighting duo, you know.
He's the Batman to my Robin.
Yes, exactly. He kind of like took it upon himself to be like, obviously, like kind of crypto and NFTs are like a thing that's existing and happening. And I've been just shrugging it off or being cynical or dismissive. But I haven't actually learned anything about them or taken an opportunity to like educate myself to see what is actually going on here. And I thought that was smart because I feel like with a lot of things, it's if something is complex or like you said, something seems buzzy or kind of in the zeitgeist, it's very easy to just be cynical and dismiss it. And so to me, it's like really satisfying to go through that journey where you actually change your mind about something because I feel like it happens so rarely today. Society today, it's so rare to. It was. Like, I feel good about it because it's like, oh, cool. I actually took the time to learn about this thing and I like think it's cool now, even though there are obviously like all these caveats and there are a lot of like very valid criticisms. And I think it's going to be kind of a rough journey ahead for kind of I'm interested to see where it all goes. But I'm more or less kind of on board with the general premise. So I don't know if where you want me to go from here in terms of like what I guess I could describe kind of what clicked for me until for how I changed over to how I started to like think about it and understand it. Would that be helpful? Or
yeah, I want to know what turned you around.
Yeah, so it was when I was hearing about NFTs kind of in the news and just you know, hearing things about it, but all kind of secondhand or hearing people's criticism, I just didn't understand them. And they seem to me like a way to lock something down, like some kind of weird form of like DRM or royalty payments or some kind of way, like kind of working in the opposite of like information wants to be free idea of the internet. And so the analogy that someone I read in a blog post that, and I think that's what made it click for me, is specifically looking into the art world and even more specifically fine art photography. And photography historically was kind of presented with a similar problem where, you know, previously it was basically painting and sculpture were kind of like, these are how you do art. And anytime you do those, it's like a one for one, right? You make a painting and there's only one of them. And so it has this inherent scarcity and this inherent rarity. And so when photography came on the scene, it had a hard time justifying itself as fine art, because you take a picture and it creates this film negative where you can then make a million copies if you want. There's no inherent scarcity. And so one way they got away, they got around this is by doing limited edition prints, right? Where you have a, the artist's signature attached to a print, and that is the valuable one. Whereas you could make other copies, or it could become a poster or a mouse pad or whatever. And those aren't valuable, but the signed one is the thing that is valuable. So like a specific example, there was like an Ansel Adams signed print that sold recently for like just under $1 million. Whereas that same image you could find online as a JPEG, or you could buy a poster of it, you know, like in a Yosemite gift shop for $20. So it's kind of like, in that sense, it's having your cake and eating it too, where the artist is compensated properly for the work of art they created, and yet there's nothing holding back that work from being enjoyed by the wider population or anyone who wants to see it and appreciate it. And so bringing it back to NFTs, it's essentially a digital signature that you're attaching to something, and you're showing that provenance and saying like, this originated from me. I made this. And it's like cemented on the blockchain, which is just like a kind of a permanent and public way to show like, hey, this is mine and now I'm selling it to you. And so the whole idea of like, you're selling a JPEG for $1,000, like that doesn't make any sense. Like it, that all kind of went away when you kind of understand what it actually is you're buying, and you're not buying the piece, you're buying essentially like a digital signature, which is like a certificate of ownership or something like that. And so once I kind of wrapped my head around that, then I became incredibly excited for what this means for artists, basically. And it becomes another potential avenue for artists to be compensated for their work and what they're doing. And then, you know, going even further, that there are certain genres of art that have been super hard to compensate. So like with photography, it's like they've always had, you know, prints, you can sell prints, but things like motion graphic artists or certain types of animation and stuff, that's been hard to like sell as an art piece. And so this seems like an exciting new way where artists can actually be compensated. And so the way I feel about NFTs now is it gives me a feeling that reminds me of the way I felt about Kickstarter like 11 years ago, where it's like, ooh, like something new is happening here where the gatekeepers are going away a little bit and you can have this direct relationship with the people that want to support your work. So that's what excites me about it.
I think what's interesting to me, and so I basically having heard this kind of, you know, pitch before about it, as someone who, you know, I write books, you can buy ebook copies, you can buy print copies, etc. And oftentimes, you know, in the days before the pandemic, I would have signings and you could come and you could get your book signed. But obviously in the pandemic, and also even before then, some people prefer, you know, ebook copies. And there's not really a corollary for that, right? That is what struck me when I first started hearing about this, was like, well, is there an opportunity there for writers who are like, well, I'd love to be able to provide, like, you know, that same feeling of like having an autographed book or a signed book to somebody who prefers an ebook, and, you know, short of signing somebody's Kindle, which I know people who do it, but like sooner or later you get rid of that, you want to trade up your Kindle, and you're like, well, this one has a signature on it. I've signed
iPads before at live shows, yeah. And I always think, yep, like, man, you're not going to get as much money on eBay when you can't sell this in 3 years.
But if it was an NFT, Steven, then you could just sign their digital iPad and mm-hmm. you'd be all set.
Yeah, I think the bit about scarcity is what has hung me up, mm-hmm. because it's scarcity and a digital product are like, couldn't be further from each other in some ways, right? Like,
right.
You can have this image. I can just copy it. I can save it. I can do what I want to with it. But it sounds like that's not really the way to think about it.
No. And thanks for bringing that up, because that is the exact thing that hung me up too, where it's like, digital scarcity, that doesn't make any sense. And that's correct. It doesn't make any sense. And and that's not what this is. So yeah, it's like, it's like that. It seems really, like I said, kind of having your cake and eating it too, where there can be this like relationship. And there, I suppose there's a scarcity in terms of like the authenticity in the autograph, the digital signature, but the piece itself is totally, you know, information wants to be free. Like, it can spread far and wide. It can be remixed. People can save it to their own hard drives. Like, that, nothing changes about that. And I think that's maybe what like spooked people, is like, wait, don't ruin like the essence of the internet, which is like information, you know, traveling freely. And I don't believe that this in any way prevents that. It's like a purely additive, like, new thing that's happening.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, it's so the technology underlying this is obviously the same as like cryptocurrency, right? Mm-hmm, same use mm-hmm. of the blockchain and same idea. And obviously scarcity is an issue there as well, because if you just had the ability to replicate things digitally, everybody could have as much cryptocurrency as they want. Mm-hmm. We could all be cryptocurrency billionaires. So I mean, I understand the underlying issues of it, and I get the idea of additive. I think the biggest thing that's kind of a pushback right now, as Steven said at the beginning, is like the fadness of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. everybody is all of a sudden like NFT this, NFT that, right? And I think, as with so many fads, that will die down to a point where it will be like, all right, look, not everybody's doing NFT now, but like, some people are still doing them, and they're doing them for those more specific purposes, like maybe mm-hmm. the artistic stuff, as we discussed. So I think that's, you know, we're just in that phase right now, maybe, where it's like super buzzwordy and everybody wants to see, like, is this a thing? Is this a thing that we can make money on? And some people will, and a lot of people will just be like, no, this was a stupid idea for us. Like, for our particular use case, right, this is not helpful. This is us just trying to capitalize on something. And it'll sort of go back to just a smaller, perhaps more narrow definition of what it's used for.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. And I think I would encourage people to not like dismiss it outright because of all of the stupid stuff that they're going to be seeing now and in the immediate future. You know, it's like, you see, it's like, ooh, Budweiser's doing something with an NFT in the Super Bowl. And it's just like, who cares? Like, I just ignore that. Like, you don't have to, that doesn't matter. I think it's going to be a lot like, I mean, it could be a lot like podcasts. Like, there was certainly an era where it was like, podcast, everyone has a podcast. Then it became mm-hmm. a joke where it's like, ooh, starting a podcast. And then now it's just like, oh yeah, podcasts exist and it's totally fine. And if you want to have one, you should have one. And like, the you can listen to the ones you want to and don't listen to the ones you don't want to. And so that's kind of the trajectory where it's like, yeah, it's going to be really kind of weird and rough because it's going to be so buzzy and there's just going to be so much garbage and everyone trying to make a quick buck. I guess another analogy is like the App Store, where there was a gold rush at the beginning. It was like apps, everyone has to have an app. Right, and then there was like, oh, we don't actually need all these fart apps or whatever. and then it kind of stabilizes to where it's like, okay, for a lot of people, like, an app makes sense. For other services, it doesn't make as much sense. And this is like a good thing that this exists, even though we went through that rough patch where everyone was making apps for no reason.
It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around the reason you would want to get into this. So I guess from like the creator perspective, which sounds like it has, that's what excited you the most. It's an opportunity to monetize your work in a way that you haven't done before, or to have this relationship with your audience you haven't had before. But from someone looking to make a purchase or hold one of these, is it as simple as, you know, wanting to be a patron of someone's art? Like, that's kind of like the oldest relationship in this sort of business? Or, like, is there inherent value, you think, beyond wanting to, you know, own this sort of verified image that your favorite photographer made?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question. And I think if you're going to start buying NFTs, you absolutely have to approach it from the perspective of, I want to support this person, I love this piece of art, and I would like to add it to my digital collection. There's certainly a chance it becomes an asset. There's certainly a chance it appreciates in value, but don't think of it that way, because
we're not investing here. Yeah.
Yeah, it could all come crumbling down. Like, I mean, there's tons of people that are treating it that way, and I mean, I suppose that's fine, or I suppose that's like gonna be part of it, and that's certainly a part of the existing art world, right? That's kind of the whole game, where you know you buy a painting and you just keep it in a safe in Switzerland and don't even hang it on your wall. And then, you know, someone else buys it from you and it stays in that same safe and they own it now. And so there's certainly that aspect of it. But if you're just like regular person, it's like, yeah, the investment should be supporting an artist, not necessarily like, I've got this great asset that will appreciate. Even, you know, it may, like, that could happen. And I guess that's part of the excitement of kind of this like new frontier of like, ooh, nobody knows kind of where it's going to go. But I would encourage people to treat it as, yeah, like patronage and not investment.
The thing I'm curious about sort of reconciling here is, of course, the other aspect of this, which is true as well with cryptocurrency, is like the environmental impact.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's like a big question for me of like, well, I understand all the benefits, but like, are those benefits outweighing the downside? Is there, I wonder this a lot about some of the blockchain stuff, because I think, again, it's very much a buzzword, very much everybody wants to be seen as being in on it. And it's like, is there a way we could do this that maybe doesn't destroy the environment at the same time? Is that possible?
Yeah. No, I mean, that I was hoping we would get to that at some point. And I certainly don't have any answers to that. I mean, the optimistic take is that everyone is well aware of these issues and things are moving in the right direction. So, for example, Ethereum, which is the blockchain that most of the NFT stuff is happening right now, is currently proof of work, which, and again, I like barely understand any of this stuff, so I can barely explain it, but basically the proof of work is the computationally expensive one, where they're having to solve a little math equation to like do all the mining and stuff. And that is the super energy inefficient one. It just takes a ton of energy to do that. And so there's something else called proof of stake, which is a different thing where you're, again, I barely understand it, but you're essentially using tokens you own, you're staking them, you're kind of holding them as collateral, I guess, to act as some kind of verification. And that style of blockchain is like orders of magnitude less energy. Like, if they were that type of blockchain, the environmental issues would almost just like go away, basically, as I understand it. And so Ethereum is supposed to be transitioning from a proof of work to a proof of stake. And so if they do that, and they're saying they are going to do that, then that's great and something we can all feel good about, but it still remains to be seen. You know, is it like a Linux on the desktop type thing where it's like, oh, they say this is happening, but it's actually not. You know, it's hard to know. And then there's like the other analogy I've seen is like, what is your environmental impact when you fly on an airplane as an individual? Whereas if you weren't on that plane would still be taking that flight. And so it's the same idea with NFTs, where they're kind of like riding on this blockchain that's already doing stuff. So it's like, it's not necessarily the NFTs specifically that are the problem. It's like the blockchain itself. But of course, if a lot more people are doing more NFTs, then it creates more plane flights that need to happen. And so it actually does have an impact. So I haven't found any like clear answers, but it does seem clear that this is an issue that basically everyone is aware of and something needs to happen. Something needs to change. And it seems that things are moving in that direction. But I guess it remains to be seen how quickly that'll happen or, how good of a job it will be once it gets there.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. So are you involved in this? Are you holding any... staking anything, making anything?
No, I'm just not.
Are you verbing any? Do you have any verbs going on?
Just a couple. I'm kind of just like dipping my toes in. I've set up a wallet and just bought like a small amount of Ethereum, and it's just kind of just like sitting there, not doing anything. And I've been like seeing stuff that people are posting, and I think I would buy some. It's kind of why I did all this. It was part of like the research of like figuring out what NFTs are. It's like, let me actually like do this. Let me set up a wallet. Let me see what that feels like. What is the user experience to like put money in it? And then eventually, like, what does it feel like to actually own an NFT? Like, does that feel like I've acquired a work of art, or does it feel like I downloaded images from the internet and I feel nothing? That'll be interesting. If I find, a piece I want to support, what that will be like. And then for me personally, I started taking kind of fine art photography seriously a few years ago, but I got like a little bit stuck. I mean, kind of COVID just like killed a lot of momentum, but it became something that I was like really interested in pursuing as like a side hobby. But there's no question that it would be, if there was a little bit of money coming in from that, kind of in the like Walt Disney spirit of like making money to make more pictures, or making pictures to make money so I can make more pictures. And so I think that I see this as an awesome opportunity to facilitate that. And maybe I'm being naive and maybe I'm being kind of over enthusiastic or getting caught in this wave that is just about to crash. But again, I can't escape the feeling, like this feeling, it feels just like 11 years ago with Kickstarter, where it's like, there's something here. And so I want to at least explore that and give it its due diligence before I cynically kind of just dismiss it.
I had someone a while back, it was after I'd finished shipping my Kickstarter from last year, my calendar, and someone had emailed me, is like, are you going to do NFTs of all the images from the calendar? And I sort of just like, I emailed it back, I'm not really interested, and it kind of wrote it off, but it's an interesting thing to consider, I think.
I was going to say there's no harm in trying, but like right now it's like actually quite expensive to like mint an NFT because of there's something called gas, which is basically the fee to write something to the blockchain. And it's like kind of high right now to where it would cost like $100 or so to turn an image into an NFT, to mint an NFT. And so that's like that's a significant barrier for entry for a lot of people. Like, right. It's clear that is not sustainable if this is ever going to become a mainstream thing. And so that's actually factors into this whole like transition from proof of work to proof of stake, where there's also this other thing of like layer one versus layer two, where it's like you can have these services operating kind of on top of the base level blockchain, where it's like they bundle up a bunch of transactions and then kind of do them all at once to the main blockchain. And that like saves, there's like that, there's an efficiency there that saves on fees. And so for sure, like that all needs to get much better for there to be any kind of mainstream adoption in terms of like creating the art. And I think even acquiring it, if you're like transfer an NFT from one person to another, I think there's a gas fee there as well. So there's certainly a kind of barrier to entry, at least in the Ethereum NFT space, which is where a lot of this stuff is happening. So, I would encourage you at least to maybe like just set up a wallet and kind of just poke around and see, see what it's like. And another thing that I've actually found that's interesting is the kind of decentralized wallet idea is, I feel like it's almost fulfilling the promise of single sign-on that we never got, where I was like, I created this wallet and then I go to all of these like NFT marketplaces and you just connect your wallet and you immediately have an account. And it's like, oh dang, that was really easy. And so that's like another appealing thing, and where I start to understand the appeal of kind of like the decentralized blockchain, you know, even with all the like criticisms, you know, that piece that went around recently and how there's like, actually it's not that decentralized. And, you know, I like get all that. And I think all that criticism is perfectly valid, but I had never quite had such a seamless single sign-on experience before. Was like, ooh, there's something here too. Like there's something nice about this. So I don't know. I think there's no harm in just kind of poking around. That's kind of my message, I think, I wanted to bring, is like, let's table the cynicism for a little bit. And actually, no, it's fine to be cynical, but at least poke around a little bit first before you make up your mind, I guess I would say.
I like to just make snap judgments. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Dan, thanks for sharing the journey you've been on.
Oh, yeah.
It has helped me understand this, because like I said, I just have written the whole thing off. And
yeah,
viewing it through the lens that it sounds like what's exciting you about, a way to connect with artists or makers and like be part of their world. Like that is always interesting to me. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna poke around. Do you have like any websites you recommend or people should follow if they want to learn more or keep digging?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still like kind of new, so I'm probably like missing out on a lot of stuff or know even like the right people. Mm-hmm. There is and actually Tom turned me onto this, but Kevin Rose's podcast, like he has like a Modern Finance. It's called Modern Finance, his podcast. And then he also one called Proof that is specifically about NFTs, and those are pretty good. And he does, even though he's like classic kind of like Silicon Valley like VC guy, he's actually like has a pretty good perspective, and it's pretty approachable to listen to. And he's pretty even though he's extremely bullish about NFTs and crypto and all that stuff, he's pretty cautious also. So he's not like a super, let's do all these, you know, intense, like finding all these obscure tokens to like do like pump and dumps or any of this like crazy right. stuff. Like he's pretty measured and I think kind of clear thinking about it. So that's a good podcast to check out. And then I would say foundation.app is like where I've been looking at like specifically photography based NFTs. I've seen some really nice stuff on there. Noah Kalina is he's a well-known photographer. He does a podcast with Adam Lissiger called All Consuming, which is really good and funny, where they essentially review like products that they get ads for on Instagram. But they had an episode about NFTs recently that I thought was really good. And Noah specifically is someone who was a total NFT cynic who like converted and now like has found quite a bit of success actually selling some of his work as NFTs. So he'd be a good one to follow and check out that podcast as well.
Okay. I will have those in the show notes for everybody. This is a, you know, if you think about it, this is a digital good that you paid for as a Relay FM member. So thank you for your support. If you don't listen to the stuff these guys are making, you should go pay attention to both of them. Both of my Dans are my favorite. Can't have a favorite Dan.
That's true. That's true. We're all good. We're all good Dans.
I love all my Dans equally, is what I'm saying.
13 out of 10.
So thank you members for your support. Go check out Dan on Clockwise and Six Colors and The Rebound, and go buy his books. They're all very good. Dan Provost and Tom, of course, make awesome stuff at Studio Neat, and they are on Thoroughly Considered with Mike Hurley about once a month. One of my never skip podcasts. It's always,
oh wow, thank you.
I never miss an episode. It's great. Thank you, members. If you have comments or questions or anything you want us to talk about in Fusion in the future, hit me up in the Discord. Or, of course, you can always email us at membership@relay.fm. And we will talk to you next month.